scripture in just a minute. Before we do, I'm going to have Brother Ralph Green. Thank you, Brother Ralph. I appreciate that. While you're turning Joshua chapter 1, Brother Ralph used to have services back there in the back, back in the little front part when they started. That was Temple, wasn't it, Brother Ralph? So the Temple Baptist Church, several years before this church was ever in existence. We praise the Lord for using him to do that. We need to announce that the tape room will be closed Wednesday night. No tapes can be checked in or out because of moving. We'll be mentioning some more things about getting some help on moving and choir practice. We're going to have choir practice Saturday night. Is that right, Brother John? What time? Saturday night at 7 o'clock we'll be having choir practice in the new building. All of you need to be here so you'll know what we're going to be doing. A lot of other things. Maybe I'll mention them in a little bit. I'm going to be long tonight, I don't guess. Something wrong here. So I want you to pray now as bring the message. As I said, I won't be long. I really didn't know what to preach tonight. God began to deal with me about this scripture in Joshua chapter number 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, I'm not going to really have much of an outline or a whole lot to stick on tonight, but I do want to say some things. How good the Lord's been to us. Sometimes if you're not careful, the devil will cause you to get bitter because, you know, and it's like this, it's easy to do. In a small town, there's not many churches like this. I don't say that bragging. I say that to make a point. Not many churches. There's a lot of good churches in McDowell County. But in a town this small, it's almost impossible for a church to grow large because it splits so easy. Most churches probably done had two or three splits by this time. And if we can make it through this building program without having one, brother, that's a real test. They say that a major building program will put ulcers and gray hair in the preacher's head. I don't know. I can't see in my stomach. It feels all right, except I'm hungry. But I'm getting them. Something's getting to me. But anyway, I don't care really about no gray hairs. They don't hurt. But I sure wouldn't want innocent people, church members hurt, kids get knocked out of church. That's what hurts me. What hurts me is when I see moms and dads get offended and maybe take something wrong, get their feelings hurt, as we've seen here in the past 2 years, and maybe two people get mad at each other and whole families are out of church tonight because somebody let the devil get in somewhere. Whole families. That means kids are growing up not under the sound of gospel preaching, not in a youth choir where other young people are praising God instead of giving their life to the devil. You better think a million times before you let some little pet peeve knock you out of church. You'll regret it one day down the road somewhere. And I tell you, we bet we've had some that'll stuck with us through thick and thin, and I'll bet if you were to interview them tonight and ask them, they'd say, "I'm glad I stayed in there when the times got rough." We've not seen our last hard time. As long as we're in a world of sin, we're going to see a lot of them. But I'll guarantee you, you'll come out on top if you'll stay with God and His people. Stay with God and His people. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care if they try to run us out of town. Stay with God and His people. You'll come out on top. In Joshua chapter 1 tonight, they was getting ready to go across the river here and into a new land, just as we're getting ready to go down the hill and move in a new building. I'm going to use this as a type tonight and mention just a few things about what it's going to mean to us to move in to a new church building. In Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites." and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be, not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. Look at it now, men of the church, and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law, do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I'm just going to be a brief message this evening on what it's going to mean to us to move into a new building. What's it going to mean to us to move into a new building? And just by way of introduction this evening, I want to talk to you for a minute and say that I believe it'll mean a lot of things. There'll be some adjusting to take place, of which I'm not really alarmed, and I won't be alarmed unless you get alarmed. When you get alarmed, I won't be alarmed because of the situation, but I'll be alarmed because you're alarmed. And what I'm going to say is that when you move into a new building and make a move like this, a lot of times it's detrimental to the services, and sometimes it can even put a fear in the flock. I believe a church is, as the Bible said, like a flock of sheep. And if a sheep are grazing in a certain pasture for a while, they know every little crook and cranny in that pasture. They know where the rough places are. They're used to the atmosphere where the sun comes up, where the sun goes down. They're used to a shade tree. They're used to maybe laying under a certain shade tree from certain times to certain times. And then all of a sudden, the shepherd says, "Okay, come here. We're going over here into a new pasture." Boy, they look around over here. Maybe the first bite of grass they get has an old nasty bug in it. Or maybe they get snake bit. Or maybe something happens and it puts a fear in them. And they say, "I like this new pasture. I like the old pasture better. I wish he was over there." And a lot of times they think, "Well, the shepherds made a mistake. I know it was a little bite back there and barren, but I tell you, I just feel uneasy about this new pasture." And that's a lot of times what happens to a church when they move into a new church building. Here we are, we're packed in here like sardines. The ceiling's low, you're fanning them out, the air conditioners are running, and we're all in here, and the singing's real loud. Well, you get down there in a big spread out place, and you kind of look around like this, you know, and if you ain't real careful, you'll begin to think, "I don't know if I fit in this place. It just don't seem like the old building." And the reason it don't seem like the old building is because it's not the old building. If we'd have wanted to be in the old building, we wouldn't have built a new building. It's like trading cars, you know. You kind of get used to a car. My old car, boy, I drove that thing 130,000 miles. And boy, you kind of get attached to it. And even though it's wore out, and even though it's starting to tie up, you just don't want to let go of it. And I kind of feel that way about this building. You probably did too. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to predict something tonight. I'm going to predict that it's going to take us a while to really get loose in the new building. I've never moved into a new building. I've never been the pastor of a church that moved into a new building, unless you consider this. When we moved in here, I remember when we first come in here the first Sunday morning, I had it pictured in my mind that the glory was going to fall. I had it pictured in my mind, man, it'd just be people coming to the altar and the altar filling up and the church growing by leaps and bounds. And guess what? It didn't happen. It did not happen. The first Sunday morning we met here was the second Sunday of March 1977. The first Sunday was in the little log cabin, you know. We didn't have no seats, and the rent wasn't paid, and we moved some seats in here. And, brother, I thought, man, the Lord's going to bless.
I got up that Sunday morning. Excuse me. I saw Jesus is coming soon. It was better than 4 o'clock. There was a man came that Sunday morning who did not believe Jesus is coming soon. He heard we'd start in a church, and he come that Sunday morning. He didn't believe in the rapture. He got rid of him in one service. That's all it took. And boy, he didn't believe he came, and that kind of scared me. And there wasn't but, I guess, maybe 30 people here, maybe somewhere along there counting babies and all. And in a great big room like this, 30 people, you know, I felt kind of awkward standing up here screaming and hollering. But I've done my best anyway, and I got sick. I wanted to throw up on the way home. I said, this ain't what I thought it'd be. I thought it was going to be glory. I thought the glory would come down. I thought it'd be easy to preach. I thought it'd be like out on the street corner, boy, I'd just have a time. No, it didn't happen. Services like that. The next service is the same way. And little by little, some would start to come to the altar. And little by little, it would get stronger and stronger. Now, I personally predict, I may be wrong, I hope I am, but when we get down there, if you're not very careful, you'll get up to sing and you won't be able to hear the choir. And you look around, you're the only one on the pew. And you look around, you know, and you're like this, and you'll begin to think, there's just something missing. It ain't like the old building. Oh, I wish it was the old days. Why did I get that? No, you don't. You don't wish that at all. Listen, the building is not what makes God bless a church. Except those old pews, God ain't in them pews. He's holding them up, but he ain't in them. And brother, he's not in these old lights and all that. The only thing, you know what's good about this paneling and these lights and all that? You know what makes you feel good in here? The memories of the blessed time and the soul saving. The reason you don't feel good down there, we don't have no memories. I get sick when I look at that place, to be honest with you. It's been such a battle. Sometimes I drive down the road and go, ugh. I mean, I thought I'd want to shout, but it's been so aggravating, I almost resent it because of so much trouble. It's going to take us a while to fall in love with it. But boy, I tell you, it won't be 6 months from now, you can go down. If we do what God wants us to, 6 months from now, man, we won't even be able to imagine coming to church in here. It'll be like a dream. It'll be like, we'll look at this place and we'll say, man, how did we all used to get in there? We'll look at this place and we'll say, how did we have church there when we get used to it? But that's the way, and I believe it may be cold for a little while, but don't get upset. Don't let it shake you. Don't let it bother you. Just keep a nibbling and eating the manna and feeding off the Word of God and doing what you're supposed to and singing in the choir, and God will bless with the same glory that He's blessed with. I don't believe we made a mistake, do you? No, sir. I do not believe building that building was a sin. I believe it's caused a lot of people to commit sins, but I don't believe the building was a sin. I believe it was God's divine will. I remember us getting together and up here and praying that God would give us some parking, and we prayed God would give us some room, and we was going to knock these walls up, go back here about 25 feet, make enough room for about 150 people right in here, and the Lord just opened that thing up and gave us a business. They went out of business, and brother, a lot of people never have forgiven us for that. The FCX, you know, they think we run them out of town and all that. I heard a guy the other day, matter of fact, I was down there getting something, and we was talking about something, I forgot what it was, down there at Ace Hardwire, and we said, where can I get some of this stuff? And then somebody said the FCX. I thought, man, there ain't no FCX no more. And a lot of people think about stuff like that, and it'll take some getting used to, but I believe the city has finally accepted the fact the building's going to be there. If they don't, they might as well, you know, because there it sets, and to God be the glory. But I tell you tonight, brother, we ought to just get down there and let God have His way. Amen? I mean, boy, you can put carpet on the pews, and pad on the pews, and carpet on the floor. We ain't got stained glass windows because we don't have no windows, but hey, you can put a big high pretty ceiling and hang some lights down from the... But you know, we're the same old bunch. You ain't going to change us. I tell you, brother, I plan on hollering screaming down there, just like I hollered and screamed up here. And brother, you ought to just shout amen down there, just like you shout amen up here. You ought to just say, woo!
Hallelujah! Down the, you say, well, what else? Somebody dignified comes and it scares them. That's good for them. They need to be around that kind of atmosphere. That's good for the children and the boys and girls. See somebody praising God. That'll get them saved. You know why a lot of kids ain't saved? Because they go to church and brother people sit there like a knot on a log, and brother, it's just cold as a block of ice, and go through some old dead, cold, formal services because we're afraid we'll get some dirty or knock something over or make a scratch on something. That ain't what a moving into a new building is supposed to be about. Moving into a new building is supposed to continue the work that we've been doing all these years here. I don't know how to say this, but I'm just going to say whatever the Lord, I'm just going to enjoy myself tonight and say whatever the Lord gives me to say by the help of God. I want to say a few things tonight, maybe describe the building a little bit, and maybe it'll help you. First thing I want to say is, moving into a new building means that we're going to have pews that are long enough for everybody to sit on. That's point one. We're going to have pews that are long. You say, what kind of point is that? That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. Yeah, it does. That means you won't have no excuse never ever again to lay out a church. You ought to have every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. You don't have no excuse no more to say, well, I'm late and I can't get a seat. You can get a seat. We're going to have pews long enough. Go ahead. Not only that, them pews will be long enough you to bring your friends and loved ones. Amen? Well, I believe, you know what I think tonight? I believe that subconsciously we ain't been after souls, and I know, I got to confess, this has been in the back of my mind, we ain't been after souls like we should have been after souls for the past 3 years because the building's full, and in the back of our mind we think, well, ain't nowhere for them to sit and bringing out chariots, but we don't have that excuse no more. The pews are so long, they're 20 feet long. This building is nearly 40 feet. That means all the pews would reach from right here to the wall. Well, maybe from here to the wall. I went down there and sat on one yesterday, and I sat over here. I got up and was sat over here. I got up and sat in the one in front of it. I went back to the back and sat on the one back here. I was just sitting all over them things, and I was rubbing it over, looking at them, and I thought, man, listen, you ain't got no excuse for not bringing them loved ones. You ain't got no excuse for not visiting on Thursday morning or Thursday night. You don't have long enough for all your loved ones and your family. That's why they're there. They're not for the Lord's. They'll raise thousands and thousands and thousands. As a matter of fact, $28,000 worth of pews, brother, for people to sit on. And I want you to know them ain't to look at. Them to bring souls in and set people on them things. I've been to churches and preached revivals when there's about a half an acre of wood between me and the first people. About 8 empty rows sitting in a row. You go to the ball games, brother, they're packed out. You go to the concerts, honky-tonks, dance floors, they're packed out. People can't get on the front seat. Go to the house of God and the pew's empty. My soul, brother, it's about time we get down to business and say, brother, we got some pews to fill up. I remember when we first got these pews, I got up and I preached and I said, now folks, we're going to have to fill these pews up. And it was a challenge. It was something to work for. It was something to look forward to. Well, now we got that same challenge again. Thank God. We got something to work for. We got a goal to reach. We got a job to do. I still believe we can reach McDowell County for Jesus. I still believe McDowell can be turned upside down for the glory of God if we'll let the Lord have His way and get the devil out of our hearts and love one another and preach and pray and visit and fast and do what we're supposed to. There's no telling what God can do. You know, I think about a lot of Christians. Carnality keeps us from being what God wants us to be a lot of times, I imagine. I know it does me. I thought about all the church members and how that little things keep us from doing what God wants us to. And I thought about the new pews and how we ought to work to fill them up. And boy, I thought about how that God has blessed us with them. And, you know, He didn't bless them just to look at or as a ornament to make a building look better or just something, you know, to be pretty. But God blessed us with those pews to remind us that there's souls out there and that they're going to hell by the millions and that God has given us the blessed opportunity of reaching them. I tell you, brother, I thought about some church members. I tell you, brother, we ought never to miss a service. You ought to be there Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night preaching, Wednesday night Bible study or preaching or whatever we have. I found out, brother, that some Christians, you know, are hard to do. Some Christians are like wheelbarrows, you know that? I tell you, brother, you have to push them or they won't do anything. Some are like canoes. They won't do anything unless they're paddled. Some Christians are like kites. You got to keep a string on them or they'll fly away. Some of them are like footballs. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. Some people are like balloons, brother, full of hot air to blow up just any time. And some of them are like a good watch, open face, pure gold, quietly busy, always on time, and minding their own business. I tell you, brother, and full of good works. I believe we need to have some Christians sit on those pews and bring lost souls. Wouldn't it be a blessing to see, brother, in the days ahead? Wouldn't it be a miracle to see in the days ahead some of these moms and dads that are not saved, and these youth choir kids, and some of these husbands that are not saved, come in and sit down on, and boy, all of a sudden people begin to pray, and man, Brother Johnny, begin up and lead a song and see those people step out of that. Won't it be a blessing to see some of them getting down on that old altar? Amen, brother. They'll have a big enough pews for the whole family to get on. Let me say, secondly, we're going to have an altar that's long enough for all that is to get your tongue on. Ain't that a miracle? All the women are going to have an altar that's long enough to get their tongue on. My soul. You say, Brother Danny, hey, well, I ain't measured Jim's tongues. I know some of you is pretty close. But I tell you, brother, I went down there the other day, and I seen the carpet, and I said, let me borrow your ruler. He said, here, wait. I said, here, I need to borrow. And I said, I'm going to measure the altar. We got wall-to-wall altar. Somebody come in down there and they said, I said, look at this altar. It reaches from one wall to the other wall. We need it. We need it. Don't you agree? Don't think our church needs an altar that long? And so I measured it one section at a time and added it, counting the steps, and there's 96 feet of altar. I said, I've thought of some of you ladies. I began to kind of measure in my mind. And I said, well, it's going to be close. But what we'll do is double it over. Let it flop on both ends. And I believe we can get it on there. I believe some, you say, oh, I don't like you saying. I don't like some of the stuff some of you been saying. Oh, don't you think there's enough gossip going on about us without us gossiping about each other? Boy, I tell you, don't look for no sympathy from the world or the devil. They ain't going to give it to us. If we don't stand up for each other, the world still ain't going to stand up for us. I believe, as I've always preached, you ain't got something good to say about your church, shut up and don't say nothing and go join a church you do believe is a good one. Amen. I don't see why people go to church and then go out and clean and say, well, I church in there, and I church in there, and I don't like what we done here, and I don't like, oh, just shut up. Why don't you go join some church that agrees with you and go start you one? I used to know a guy like that, and he was a church hopper. And brother, he'd go to church for a little while, and another church for a little while, and another church for a little while, and it seemed like every church he went to just wasn't good enough for him. He wound up, I heard this, I don't know if it's true or not, he wound up starting his own, just him and his wife. They got mad and split. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what another preacher friend told me, so you never know. But I tell you what, brother, we're going to have an altar long enough to get your tongue on. My soul, brother, we need it. Now, we've been pretty good on this, and let's say whatever I don't hear. But I tell you, well, I have people say, Brother Danny, I heard this, I heard that. And once in a while, it's a church member that says those things. Now, I tell you what you better do. If you've got a friend that likes to come over and gossip about everybody in the church, you know what you want to do? Especially you ladies. You don't want to be hateful. You don't want to be ugly. But you know what you're doing? You're letting that person poison your mind. If somebody tells you something about me or about Brother Johnny or about Sister Kathy or anybody or Sunday school teacher or anybody in the church for that matter, and somebody says, Well, you know, they stand up and shout every service, but you know what I heard about them? I heard it, blah, 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 and by the time they get through, right, flapping their jaws, you start, every time you see that person at church, you think, what a hypocrite. You don't even know if it's true or not. Well, it might be. Well, it might not be. And even if it is, ain't no use running your mouth about it. Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody just shut up? Wouldn't that be a title for a message, Brother Al? Just preach on the subject, shut up. And use that scripture where it says, study quiet. Amen? Study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. I believe every once in a while we ought to lay our tongue on the altar and say, God, you know what the Bible said about the tongue? The Bible said it's full of deadly poison. Your confidence can be hurting your preacher, can be hurting your Sunday school teacher. You know what? Just by the stuff you listen people say, and if you listen to that, you know what you ought to do, girls? Put you up a great big sign over both your ears. You got big earrings nowadays, so big, nobody can never know the difference. They think it's a fad. And put them up here and says, no dumping. When you put up a sign here that says, no dumping, that means you don't listen to trashy music, and that means you don't listen to gossip. You ought to. You heard about that lady that traded in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone, didn't you? She could pick up more trash. Do you know what you can do? You can hear something about somebody, and even though you know it ain't true, there's a little block in there in your mind, and you can't never get it out. And every time you see that person, I heard something about a preacher friend of mine the other day. Brother Ralph, you know this preacher personally. Some of you other know. I don't know if it's true or not. I heard a terrible thing about it. I said, did you hear about so-and-so? And before I could even plug my ears up, I'd done heard it. And I wish I hadn't. He don't even live in this state, but I wish I hadn't heard it. Because from now on, every time I see that fella, that poison dart is going to be... And I don't want to go that way toward my brothers in Christ. You say, well, what if he is messed up? Man, that's between him and God. I'd rather not know it. I'd rather just think everything's rosy and cool and just shake his hand and go on. If he's wrong, let God deal with him. But I tell you tonight, friend, we're going to have an altar long enough to get our tongue on. Ain't that a blessing? 96 feet of it. Boy, I tell you, have you seen them cows that can go around like this and lick theirself around the fence? I know some Christians that can beat that. They can lick their brother and sister and them all the way over on the other side of town. I heard, you know, you've heard me tell that story about the robbers that came in the church and stole the offering, and they had holes on their face, you know, and guns, and they said they passed the offering plate, and they stole the offering, and they said they want all you women to take off your jewelry and your rings and your watches and put in the offering plate, and they passed it all the way around. Made everybody do that? And a guy was telling his friend about it a couple of days later, and he said, boy, it was awful. He said they stole the watches, they stole their rings, they stole the lady's necklaces. But he said, my wife was smart. He said, yeah, she opened her mouth.
Those ought to get livable. But I tell you, brother, we ought to have an altar long enough to get our tongues on. Not only that, we're going to have an air conditioner so powerful it'll cool off you hotheads. There are 5-ton heat pumps, whatever that means. 5 tons. I don't know where they get that. Some of you, they don't weigh 5 tons. Got 2 guys. About pick them up. Somehow or another they figure that 5 tons, something or another. They said there's 5 tons heat pump, and they 6 of them. Ain't that right, brother? 6 of them. That's 30 tons of cooling. There's 10 tons in this room right now. There's 30 tons down there, whatever that means. But that sounds to me like an air conditioner powerful enough to cool off the hot heads. Did you know you can get mad real quick in God's work? You know, sometimes when I come in here on Sunday morning, about 50 people ask me a question at one time, and then they expect me to do what they ought to be doing, and wonder why I ain't done job. But sometimes it just hits me wrong, and a bad spirit comes up in me.
You say, what do you do? I say, God bless you. I don't always do that. I try to. But there's been some times when it really, really, I've been mad. Started to say irritated, but that wasn't mad.
You can get mad!
That ain't right. And boy, I need to pray, and you need to pray that we won't get mad. I know some of y'all's got mad at me. I know you have, and I don't blame you. I would have too if I'd have been you. Man, these kids this evening, you wouldn't believe how I drilled the youth choir this evening. I made it rough on them. I mean, I got on them. They got through, I said, sing it again! They got through, I said, sing it again! They got through, I said, sing it again! And I make them stand up straight and tell them to hush when they talk. They said, good night, you're mean. You know why I do that? Because I want them to be a blessing when they stand up and sing. Now I want the power of God to be able to touch your sin. We're not playing games. We're not playing church. It takes some discipline and some authority. And somebody got to set your foot down once in a while. In God's business. And to do that, we're going to have a lot of grace to put up with each other. Brother John had a song rigged up to sing Wednesday night. I come in. I said, don't sing it. I don't know if he got mad. But if he did, he didn't show it. And I appreciate you for being that way, brother. There'd have been some choir directors that would have flew all over them. If he'd have been in a bad mood, might have flew all over him. He's all ready to go, had it all lined up. I just come in and said, don't want to sung. You say, Brother Denny, why does... I don't know why. We're going to have a lot of grace to put up with each other. You know why? Because we're flesh. And the flesh don't like to serve God. And the flesh flares up. And the flesh said, well, who are you? You know, all that kind of... That's why the flesh does. Brother, we ain't got time for no little pity parties. And sat down and said, well, I've got just much right. Oh, man, we ought to just forget that stuff. Realize we've got a job to do for God. And we've their souls going to hell. And we ought to just put our feelings aside and let the work roll on for the glory of God. We're going to have a choir big enough for all you to get in and sing, you that's dropped out. That's right. Get in it and sing! I've heard people say, hell, ain't nowhere to stand up there. Well, you ain't got no excuse no more. What a blessing a good choir is to a church. My heart swelled tonight as I sat down there, and I was so proud of you. You were up here singing a while ago. Really, I was. I thought, my soul, what a blessed choir. I thought, I ought to be thankful to have a choir like that. And I am. For a choir leader like that. You know, I was talking about doing something for others. I try to practice what I preach. I really do. Lord knows my heart. I don't want to preach something to you and go out and do something different. I don't always live up to it, but it's a lot easier to preach it than it is to practice it. And sometimes it comes out easy, and boy, when you start trying to live it, it ain't that easy. I've had it backfire in my face. A couple of... Since I preached on that thing of others, it's doing something for other people. I thought I'd do something nice for the Lord. I told some of them this. Brother Lloyd Broom, me and him goes visiting together usually on Thursday mornings. Sometimes he and Brother Allen's only me in here, me and him goes visiting together, and he said, it's my birthday. And he didn't want to tell me. He knew that having a big loving heart as I do, I would want to do something for him. Now, he didn't know that, but he did know I'd mentioned something like that. And he said, I didn't want to tell you because I know you's busy. And I said, you're going out to lunch. Where you want to go? I said, you want to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken? That's where I took him last year on his birthday. He was 76 the other day. And I said, where you want to go, Brother Lloyd? You deserve it. He likes Burger King. Burger King. I wasn't trying to be cheap. I took him to the steakhouse if he wanted to go. We was coming out from the hospital. He said, well, it's all right. We pulled into Burger King. I said, get anything you want. Acting real big, you know, like I was a Christian full of love, you know. Hurry up there, big boy. I mean, and I ordered. And I reached and opened my billfold, and I didn't have one penny. And she'd done rung it up, brother, fixed the book. And I had forgot that I went to the grocery store the night before, and we had $28 worth of groceries, and I had $23.
And my wife had $5. Give me some money. She gave me $5, and it took all my money. They didn't have no money. And I took him out for his birthday. And he paid for it. That's right. I sat down and enjoyed me a big double cheeseburger and a foot of French fries, and it's his birthday, and he paid. He never said a word. And the worst part is, I told him, I said, as soon as we leave here, I've got a check, I'll go get my check cashed, and I'll pay you back. I forgot to do it. Took him straight back here to the church, let him out. See you later, brother Lloyd. He took me out to eat. That's right. I said, he'll think I'm a hypocrite, Lord. He'll think I just tricked him into buying my dinner. And I still ain't paid him back. I don't know, I don't even see why he still comes here. But I tell you what, brother, things like that's going to happen. And I said, I'm going to have to straighten up, man. I can't do people like that. And then the other day, it happened again. These girls up here, Linda Howe, Kathy, who else was with y'all? Deborah, they said, it's Kathy's birthday. I said, bless the Lord, take her out to eat. It's her birthday, take her out. They mailed a $60-something worth of invitations out, and we gave them the money to mail, and they said, it's Kathy's birthday, and I said, you just go buy her dinner. And they said, no, and she said, no, Brother Dan, no. I said, yes, now here, and I give them $8 to take her out to eat. And I said, take her steakhouse, anywhere she wants to go. I thought I'd really done something good. Made up for the way I'd done, Brother Lloyd. You know what happened? They got up out of the post office. Linda Howe told me later, next day or something. And the funniest thing happened. They didn't have enough money to mail the stamps. It took all the dollars, and Kathy had to pay what was left. Out of her pocket. I did not plan on that happening that way. That's just little incidents, and they know I didn't mean that, but there'll be a lot of other things that'll happen that just happens, folks. You just can't help it. And if you ever get to think place where you think, well, Brother Danny just don't care. I thought he cared, but he just don't care. If he would have never done this, or he would have never said, just don't let the devil tell you that. That's a lie out of hell. A person can't be everywhere at once. And brother, just because I ain't always over at your house when you're sick or something does not mean I don't care about you. And I feel the same way of you towards me. You've got burdens, you've got problems, you ain't always able to do everything you want to do. And I'm glad we can understand that. Today I thought about my church members like ours, Brother Page and his wife. They probably didn't want me to tell this. She's here tonight, Page's home with a sick baby. And today's my anniversary, by the way. What time is it? I done it this time. 8 o'clock. It's 20 till 9, 25 till 9, 6, 4 till 9. And you know, they said, we're sending you and your wife out. I supposed to went to the zoo. Y'all heard about all that happened at the zoo? Man, that thing turned out good. And I got to the zoo late. I heard about all that happened. They got cows loose. They run them through the fence at Burlington, set off all the alarms, the burglar alarms. Probably had the law, I don't know what all. And Brother Ken's out of church tonight. From what I hear, is he hurt, Joey? Cal kicked him in the back. We got to have him tomorrow. Tell him he needs to get better. A bunch of you guys go down. But it was good, you know. They had some little bitty pigs and all. Do you know what? You know what Brother Page and his wife sent me and my wife to the crossbow? And I felt like a dog. So they're down there chasing cows. I'm in here. Man, people have had Cadillacs sitting out front. And boy, I thought, you know, we just sit down there. She said, it's all taken care of. Put a little card down there. It says happy anniversary and everything. And boy, it just felt so good. Just eat anything you want. Just get up and walk out, man. Don't even have to pay for it. And I thought, how come people do so many nice things for me? And I do so little for them. You know, I don't know how I got on all that off of the choir. But I tell you, well anyway, I'll tell you about something that happened yesterday. This ain't got nothing to do with either one of them.
I don't have an outline, just had a few thoughts wrote down here, but there's a guy I seen yesterday evening, and he lives not far from here, and he's always been kind of a little bit smart-alecky, but he's watched us through the years. And he told me, he said, "You reckon you'll never get that thing paid for?" And it kind of made me mad, and I said, "If the Lord comes, the insurance will pay for it. If he don't, we'll pay for it." That's what I told him. And he said, "Well, all this and all that, you know, and everything, and you need to show love and all this stuff." And I said, yeah, there isn't too much of that stuff going on nowadays. And he knows down deep inside that's what that building was built for. Let me say, they don't have a nursery big enough for all the babies. Hallelujah. We're having a new nursery schedule where the nursery is used as a nursery, where you take the babies to the nursery. Now, we don't tell any woman what to do with a kid. If they want to bring it in here, that's your business, as long as you can keep it quiet. If it disrupts the service, it becomes our business. Because people have got to hear. They've got to hear. If you live with a baby and it squalls 24 hours a day at home, you kind of get numb to it. You don't realize how much racket they're making. I know, we got one at home. But when there's people sitting around you, they need to hear. And there's nothing more disrupting than a baby crying out in the middle of the service. So the babies will be in the nursery. Now what you do when you go to work, and you take your baby to daycare, thousands of women do it every day. You may take your baby to daycare for an hour or 2 hours, and you're at work, and your baby cries at daycare. Do you know what they do? They try to get it to stop. That's all. They don't run to Baxter and run to Burlington or run across Mill and say, "Your baby's crying," and you run out and say, "Well, I got to leave work today, my baby's crying." No, you stay at work until you get off work, then you pick up your baby. That's the way a nursery is supposed to be. Don't go in and out, in and out, in and out. You either go in or you go out, and you stay wherever you go. So the nursery is big enough for all the babies. We've got to stop the noise. Now, the other half of the noise is teenagers, and the half is the front row boys. Y'all got to shut up while announcements are being made, especially this way right over here. They talk more than anybody. Some of our big talkers ain't here tonight. Where's Ricky? Manus and Brother Mike on across the mountain. And some of them, a lot of times, and you just fellowshipping and you just talking, you know, and everything. But, you know, you've got to be quiet, man. We're in church. We're having service. And amen. Thank you. God bless your heart. You know what I done right then? I hit some of you. And you kind of went, "That's my job." Especially you preachers. Y'all can give it out, so you got to be able to take it. Now all the teenagers are going to have to hush. You're going to have to hush. See, we got carpet down there, and the sound, you know, it'll be naturally quiet. You won't hear the scuffles and stuff. So you've got to learn to be quiet during the service. You say, "Well, Danny, I just don't like that. That makes me mad. I can't help it." That's the only way I know how to have a church. It's got to be done decent and in order. I'm not against 5,000 babies. I love them. I praise God for them. I rejoice, and I'm proud of them. But it's got to be done decently and in order. We're going to have a parking lot. Hopefully. Enough for you to park in. We're going to have PA, hopefully. That's loud enough for everybody to hear. And I believe God's going to give us a place where we can do something for Him. Or we can sit around and dry up and let the devil get to be. We better remember the words of that the Lord told Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." When they crossed over Jordan, they probably looked back and said, "Well, I'm going to miss the old wilderness." But God said, "Man, you got your whole future in front of you." And folks, we have a golden, grand opportunity in front of us. God help us not to blow it. God help us to cast personal feelings aside and do the work that He's given us to do. Let's bow our heads. Now, I realize tonight this is a very, very scattered message. And I know about half of it may not even fit in, made sense with itself, but I just give it to you as the Lord give it to me. I don't know who God's touched, but it feels like there's a burning in somebody's heart right now. There's three classes of people in here. Those that are right and ready to go forward. Those that are wrong and won't need to get right. And those that need to say, Brother Danny, I want to get in with this bunch. I feel like something's good going to happen here. I feel like God's going to bless this church. And I want to get right with God and get in on it. All three of you need to do what God wants you to do tonight. If you're here tonight and say, Preacher, I just need to get my heart right. So worship. I want to be in that choir next Sunday morning with a glow on my face. Oh, it's all the visitors will be here. Different ministries of the church will be presented. My soul, I want to be at my very best. And as we move into a building, I'd like to move in with a new desire, with a new determination, with a new burden, with some new commitments. God help you tonight to make that step. If you're here tonight and you're not right with the Lord, maybe you've never been saved away from God, why don't you come down here and get down on your knees? Let's get it settled tonight. Will you do it? Dear God, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Ghost would come do what ought to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. This is it now. If you need to come, come on.
216.
Come on.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good?
Come on, just get out of your seat right now.
Would you walk with Him?
Would you walk with Him?
If the narrow road,
let Him say,
would you let Him bear your burden, carry all your load?
Everybody help Him pray.
Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you are. His blood can cleanse your heart and
come
you
on.
Free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
All right, while these have come, now we're singing page 216. I can't hardly hear you. Let's help him out as he sings. Let's sing that second verse. God's dealing with your heart. Just get out of your seat. Come on down here and slip down on your knees. This will be the last preaching service unless we do something else Wednesday night in this old building. You ought to get in while you got a chance. This is it. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on. Yeah, man. Come on. Let God help
you. Peace that comes by giving all. Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Was best for Him to have His way with thee.
One more verse, one more. While we sing, won't you come?
Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential tests? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee.
Amen.
His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
All right, while the piano plays, let's bow our heads and pray for these on the altar. Amen. God may be dealing with your heart tonight. You need to come. There's an opportunity for you right now. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else need to come? Just slip out of your seat right now. How about it, Dad? How about it, Mom? Young man, young lady, if you need to come, just get out of your seat right now and come. Why don't you get right with the Lord tonight?
so you can live for Him, be happy. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. You know you need to. It ain't going to get no easier. It ain't going to get no easier than it is tonight. Just come on right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's right. Thank God. Others are coming. Others are coming. Somebody else. God's still moving. God's still moving. Come on to Jesus right now.
Amen. God's still speaking to hearts. Would you come right quickly? There's still room for you. How about it? Visitor? Young man? Young lady? Church member? Amen. Come on. Come on right now. Would you come? Would you come? The Lord's still moving up here. Hallelujah. Prayers answered. Lives being touched. How about you? How about you? How about you? Amen. How about you? Settled. Claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let Him have His way. Throw up the white flag tonight, friend. Let Him have His way. Seated just a minute. While these are still praying, you can be seated. Mention a couple of things right quickly.